Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comic Book Club. Now please put your hands together for Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Battle of the Booth All-Star
Booth. All-Star Booth, man!
All-Star Booth, man.
And guys, all of our mothers' names are Martha.
Nice. What?
Great. Yes, it's
Wait,
true.
Wait, your mom's name is
Martha? My mom's name is Martha.
All right, well, let's stop fighting then.
Yeah, you're right. Let's be friends.
So great.
Yeah,
that's
let's
great,
not fight about
right,
anything. Because that fixes all of our problems, right?
So many great arguments throughout American history have been settled by just finding out mom's names.
Right. Yeah. Or wives, in the case of George Washington.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. That was
deep
literally
breath.
Well, I don't know if you saw in the back of the shot, like George Washington's about to come in with a musket.
Yeah,
he's
he
like,
was.
Nope,
yeah.
I'm Martha too.
I'm good.
Good evening.
Hopefully, you've all seen Batman v Superman because we're going to spoil the heck out of it. Like
yeah, we already
did. Sorry about that.
And if
that.
You haven't seen it, then we saved you 2 hours and 45 minutes of your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we'll just ruin it for you so you can be a star at parties.
Is that
party
a thing?
Star?
Party star.
Have you been talking it up?
I saw it exactly 4 hours ago. So I haven't been to a party yet except for this show.
Woo!
But yeah, I saw it at 1:15 and then came here.
So it's fresh in your mind.
Very fresh.
Yeah. And I saw it a little early at a fan screening, so I got to see it with a bunch of fans. So I didn't necessarily pay for it. Pete, how did you see it?
I paid for Deadpool and then snuck into Batman.
Now, let me ask you, I have a couple questions about that.
Right.
Why did you do that? Just to get another like $15 in the Deadpool
Have you
camp?
Seen Sucker Punch? It's awful.
What? Oh, okay.
I'm still angry about that movie, so I wasn't going to give him money.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't want to. I wanted
riff.
To kind of.
Zack Snyder, the director, being him.
Yep.
Not Batman or Superman.
Yeah. I don't have beef with those guys.
So
they
love
also
those
don't
dudes.
Need money. They're doing fine. Yeah. Particularly Batman. He's a billionaire.
Batman, yeah.
Yeah.
Superman's just getting by on that newsman's salary.
He has an amazing job.
Yeah.
His job is fantastic. He can leave for days at a time and nobody cares.
Well, he's
on the sports beat.
He's like the Justin.
He is. Superman
Justin
is
leaves.
On the sports beat, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to investigate this crime from this bat vigilante instead. And then Justin turned to his article, and Perry White is like, you're not fired.
Perry White's job is the best, though. He's like, headline, Superman good. Huh? And they're like, great job. Here's your $100,000.
Yeah.
That's what he does in the movie multiple times.
And we got a show to get to, right?
We do have a show. Yeah. Show starting now.
Oh,
I love it.
You've
hey,
always been the Perry White of this show.
Go for
show.
It. Go for it. Actually, we have two amazing guests for you. I'm very excited to have them here. One of them hasn't been on the show for a very long time. The other one, this is her first time. They are respectively the creator of the fantastic comic book Hench Girl and a incredible filmmaker for the movie Inside You. And she worked in the sound department of Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix. Woo. Ladies and gentlemen, Heather Gutsnuck and Heather Fink.
Yeah.
Mr. Gutsnuck and Heather Fink.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you for showing up.
Please. Come on in, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here. I called you both Heather. I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Great.
I'm Kristen.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
that's very, that's so different.
AKA Heather.
Yeah.
I'm the real Heather.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you so much for coming on again. Kristen, let's talk about your comic Hench Girl first.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Well, it's a big fan.
Yeah. Huge fan. It's really great. I've read it numerous times. It's that good.
Numerous
Man
times.
Of fine tastes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pete doesn't like reading. So maybe he read it twice.
Hence
either
comic books.
Are there a lot of long words that he might have struggled with, or?
No.
I'm pretty sure I have very like short sentences in very
great.
Small
then he must
balance.
Really like it.
Yeah.
So, I think it's pretty clear from the title, but people who haven't picked up the comic before, what's it about?
It's about a hench girl.
Cool. Thanks
nice.
For coming on the show.
Yeah. Bye. It's about a girl who works as the assistant to an arch villain in a city that has. It's kind of like overrun with superheroes and supervillains, and it's kind of just her day job to pay the rent. She does like bank heists and like robs orphans and stuff like that.
What does she steal from orphans? Sadness?
Aww.
They don't have much else.
Oh, come on.
There was
That's
this weird thing where her coworker was like, hey, let's funnel the money that this grant gave to this orphanage for repairs and take it for ourselves. And she was like, but that's wrong. And that's kind of like her her character arc is sort of just trying to maintain her humanity in a world that is seems like it's intent on taking it from her.
Yeah, in the henching world.
So yes. How many issues are 12 issues at this point?
There's going to be 11 issues.
11
it
issues.
It ends at 11.
Okay. So what is it? Well, what is it? I mean, I'm always very interested in this because people go through publishing in very different ways. But what is it like? This was self-published, right? To
yeah,
start?
Initially.
So what has it been like breaking into that? What has it been like publishing this book?
It's really weird because I started out as a webcomic just because I wanted like instant feedback. And I kind of was just like, these people will read this if it's free online. And that's kind of what I mainly wanted, just to build up a fan base. And then I started doing conventions, self-publishing. And then I was actually at New York Comic Con the year before last New York Comic Con. And I went up to the table that was being run by the guy who runs Scout Comics. And I was like, hey, here's my portfolio. Can you hire me to draw stuff for you? And he was like, how about I publish your comic? And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow, what a tough negotiation. Yeah,
were you in a musical at the time? What happened?
Okay.
Then we burst into song.
We're going to make some comics. I thought we were in a. I thought you just said we're in a musical.
Yeah, that was the end of the song.
Okay. Oh, this is very short song.
Yeah, it was a short musical.
You're never going to get Hamilton tickets with that attitude.
I got Hamilton tickets. No way.
You saw it?
Yeah.
You got through the lottery? Holy shit.
This is, I kid you not, this guy over here was like, I was getting really bummed out because I was doing the lottery every single show. And he was like, you got to stick with it. And then he went away. And when when he went away, I won the lottery.
Maybe I was there carrying you the whole time. I carried you
two
to Hamilton.
Two footsteps in the sand.
Like a footprints thing.
It was kind of
exactly.
Well, let's get back to talking about comics, please.
No, I don't think
Hamilton.
So.
Hamilton.
Pretty great, though, right?
It was pretty great. So, what? Once you moved into working with a publisher, did it make things easier? Did it make things different, harder?
Well, there's... as one learns, there's always a bumpy period before a comic comes out, apparently. It got delayed a bunch of times, but it's kind of evened out at this point. But yeah, I mean, any delays that any comic stores have had, that wasn't on my end. No, not to throw a scout under the bus. I think there was just in the beginning, there was some things just like weren't on schedule.
I think we've all come to grips as a people with delays in comic books, right? Even like
if there's a schedule, I like to follow it. I don't know.
But
I don't,
even creators now, I feel like then they'll finish up an arc. They'll be like, "We'll be back in 4 months, I think." Yeah. And everyone's cool with it now. I mean, we're disappointed, but it's definitely like it's cool to have delays and breaks.
Well, are you more cool with that, or right now? I definitely DC. I think Marvel, to a certain extent as well, are ramping up their publishing schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, DC just announced DC Rebirth, where they're going to be putting out multiple titles a month. Yeah. Why?
Like, honestly, you're going to find the comics like in your home just before you go anywhere. They're just going to be in your car. They're going to be in your pants. They're going to be everywhere. That's part of the rebirth.
Yeah.
Is that how birthing works?
Yeah, I'm having a baby, so.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that? Would you rather have comics come out, I mean, from a creator's perspective and also just from a fan's perspective, would you rather have comics come out on whatever schedule works for the creators or as frequently as possible?
As frequently as possible.
I personally, as someone who's tried desperately to navigate whatever the hell happens in the X-Men chronology, I just think that there should be one book that has the characters, and they shouldn't do any crossovers because it gets really confusing, and they shouldn't have spin-offs. I think wow. You can have the spin-offs happen within, like, I think they need a better way of collecting things, because I get very overwhelmed trying to figure out what comes next. For instance, after issue 600 of X-Men, I was just like, I Googled what comes after 600. And I couldn't find anything, and I was like, I guess that's it. I guess I'm done.
I guess
to wait
stopped.
For someone to tell me what to read
wrapped
next.
Wrapped up the X-Men.
Yeah,
all done with that.
Cyclops gave a lame speech, and then I was like, okay, I guess that's it for now.
See? She knows. She knows how it works.
Yeah,
Cyclops.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense with all the rest of the stuff that Cyclops had said in like all the issues before then. But
yeah.
I guess they needed to tie a little ribbon on that. And that's just my first Cyclops rant of the evening.
Wow.
Can't wait for more.
For someone wearing an X-Men jacket, that's
Cyclops.
A strong stance.
I just
you
thought,
love him?
Yeah, he's my favorite character.
Oh,
what?
Shit.
Pete, do you
no!
have any...
Wait.
Pete thought you were an ally, but he hates
Cyclops,
Cyclops more than anything.
Oh, man.
And I ship him with Wolverine.
Do you have an opinion on Cyclops, Heather?
I don't have strong opinions on Cyclops, actually. And to answer the other question about, like, I'm actually a volume reader. I think it's equivalent to the binge watcher, like a Netflix binge watcher.
Mm.
I like to read things in volumes. I can't, like, it's too torturous to read something when I have to wait for the next week, so.
I think the last time you were on the show was, what, 8 years ago or something
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
But you were talking about, I remember you were super into talking about Garth Ennis's Preacher
mm-hmm.
at the time. Are you freaking out that they're finally doing a TV show?
I know too much because I work in television. Shoot, what can I say?
Oh, that
I mean, it's
good.
Bad.
I have opinions.
Oh, God, you heard it here first. It's bad.
No. I haven't seen it. People who went to South by Southwest saw the pilot, I think.
Yeah.
I saw a script for it because I know someone who read for it, and they knew I was a super fan, so they passed it on to me. And
is that illegal? Can they do that?
No, it's
You're
not allowed.
Supposed
it's like
to
on
that.
The down low. So,
okay.
But it's cool.
As long
so
as you
I
don't talk about
script.
It on a podcast.
No, I mean, I will never say what I said, but I know how I felt about it. But at the same time, I had feelings about Punisher, like strong feelings about Punisher when I was working on the show that I was concerned about, and then I liked the eventual depiction. So I have feelings. Because this is my problem with Ennis being adapted, is that his the way that he writes is so amazing. It's like so specific. Like there's no other writer doing Preacher, you know. There's no
yeah.
I mean, he does have some series, like Punisher is one of the big characters he's written for, and I think like mm-hmm. Nick Fury and stuff like that, but a lot of the stuff he does is unique to him, and there's no other writer even trying to touch it. So I think the difficulty in the Preacher show is that it's not his script. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that when I read it, I was like, this isn't what he would say. This isn't how he would do it. And that's a feeling that I had. And I think that the Preacher show could be really good, but I think if it's good, it would be good for different reasons than mm-hmm. like maybe people who are diehard Preacher fans like myself, maybe are going to be not into it. But I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Right. I've heard it's very good.
You've heard
I haven't
very
seen
good.
It, but I've heard
yeah.
the actual
the
pilot
thing, like,
is very good.
People love V for Vertigo, and I thought it lost all the heart of the book and was completely different. So that's maybe how I would look at it. I can't like unread the book V for
you can't
the, V for Vendetta. Sorry.
Yeah. Well,
we know what you meant.
Yeah, we're on board. We didn't even say anything.
Wait, let's take a step back off of that. So you worked on Daredevil season 2.
Yes.
In the sound department,
mm-hmm.
which at least the first part is pretty heavily adapted off of Garth Ennis. So how'd you feel about that? Were you holding that boom pole being like, I'm going to kill
yeah,
you?
I mean, no, it was cool. I actually like his very
Heather,
first...
we're picking up your commentary a lot while we're shooting. So can you just stop saying that?
Oh, shoot. No. Well, the interesting part is that when I started the show, I just wrote and directed my first feature film this past June.
Congrats.
And that was a huge feat for me. Thank you.
Yeah, very excited.
And I started working on Daredevil 2 weeks later, and Netflix doesn't know it, but they're paying for all the post-production of my film, which is exciting. And I want to get the film on Netflix, so hey, notice that. So I started working there, and I didn't know that much about it. I'd just been thinking about my movie. I wasn't thinking about it. And I remember two major discoveries. Was the first scene that I was on set for was in this... this room where, everybody saw it. I can like talk about it already. It's no spoiler.
Yeah,
it's like Grotto and Karen. It's in the first episode, and they're in the room, and they're like, "There's this guy, and his name is." They're calling him the Punisher, and I'm like, "What?" I had no idea that the Punisher was going to be a part of the storyline before I agreed to do sound on Daredevil. So it was an awesome surprise. And then I saw like the X-ray, and I was like, so this is really exciting. And then soon in the first week, I was like, oh my God, I'm in Punisher's lair, and they have like the cool, weird guns. And, you know, there's so many weird little trivia things I can tell you, even that they like tried to get this one special movie gun from Predator in the show, and there's like only one of them, and I think they got it. And like,
was it in his bunker?
It's in his bunker, yeah, like where the dog, there's like cans of
Pete's losing
stuff.
His mind right now.
And
talking about special guns that the Punisher might have.
Yes.
That's like his dream.
Can I also tell you that where we shot the Punisher's lair is on the same stage where Broad City is shot?
Huh.
Oh, wow. Oh, they share an aesthetic, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Two very similar shows.
Yeah. And similar layers.
Totally different. And then another fun fact is one of the locations we used, because there's so much shooting in New York right now, the exterior was Arkham Asylum from Gotham, but the interior on the same property, we used the interior. It was a completely different location. Like, it wasn't an asylum. So it's just, like, so funny to go
to
work.
Did you guys shoot at the same time? So, like,
No, impossible.
You squint, you can see.
It was just so funny to, like, show up for Daredevil and, like, see Arkham Asylum. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, the Punisher sets down, like, an Uzi and picks up the ice gun. And has you even noticed that?
No, I didn't notice that at all. Flash runs by for no particular reason.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I
happens
did.
All. It flashes everywhere right now.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know about Flash, so I'm changing back, bringing the subject back. about Punisher, though, I have strong opinions. And there were two things that I was concerned about on set. And then I want to say that I saw the show and completely I watched all the episodes completely unbiased, that I loved it and I thought it was great. And I'm very, very happy with the depiction of Punisher. But on set, there were two things that made me nervous. And one of them was that Frank Castle cried.
Yeah.
Like Frank Castle cried. And I was like, what sacrilege is this? Like, how is that even possible? Right. How is that, you know, like, how can Frank Castle cry? This is a big deal. And why is he doing it, like, a few times? Like, why is he so emotional? Mm-hmm. But I realized that part of the justification, I was hoping that it would work, because I wanted it to be good, because I love the people who made this show. They're really good people that made this show. Was that this is him in his early, like, this is hardly depicted in the comic books. Usually you have his origin story way back at the war, and then you have him, like, way after all this stuff happened to his family. Right. So this was, like, days after this stuff happened to his family.
Yeah, like, close to the picnic. Like,
real
he
close
can
to
still
the
taste the BLT.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. And so it's
did you
fresh
notice this, actually?
That.
There's a little piece of lettuce stuck in there the entire time.
That's what half of what he was upset about.
Yeah.
Because
Nobody told him.
So, and then the other thing I was worried about was the fact that he was no longer a Vietnam War veteran, because the timeline doesn't work. And an Iraq War veteran has an extremely different character and personality from a Vietnam veteran. I mean, you know, part of the Punisher's character, I think, is really rooted in that. And the fact, you know, like, you look at Rambo and what is a Vietnam War veteran. So his personality is really, really rooted in that. But I do think that it justified, and it was, like, a very whole character that was very modern. And John cared a lot. Like, and one other, I mean, I could, like, all these things I could just, like, throw at you and tell you.
Go for it.
Yeah. I am
riveted. You're into it. One of the other cool things about the show is the cast. They're amazing. They're really good. I mean, that was one other. That was another thing too. Is like working as a New York City crew person in sound, you get thrown in all kinds of shows. You name it, like Blacklist, Falling, whatever. There's all these procedurals, which is the term that they use for cop shows. Mm-hmm. That like whatever. Cop shows, court shows, hospital, whatever. And it all, sometimes you get on set and it feels the same crap over and over again. And I started to hear Deborah Ann talking and I was like, oh my God, what? Like, she's so good. Like, what is this show? And the weekend after, I just stayed and watched all season one. I hadn't watched it yet. And I was like, wow, this show is really good. But so the cast is great, but I will also say that if you have these like four characters, Daredevil, Punisher, Karen and Elektra, they're very sexy, and they're all these like archetypes, and they are their character in a way. Like all of these actors are their character.
Interesting.
Wow. So
in a way, Elodie
Young, who played Elektra, would like attack people on
not
set?
At all. No, it's like, you know, Karen is the quintessential blonde, feminine, kind-hearted, like strong moral center woman, and then Elektra is the wild, unpredictable, like exotic, like black hair, like she is all those things. These actors are all those things. I mean, certainly they don't do, none of them do illegal activity or intensely illegal activity. That
certainly
not.
Sounds like they do. Based on that.
Yeah.
No, I mean they're fascinated. They're like Karen or Deborah Ann really is that beautiful, that nice, that intelligent. And Elektra really is like, she's like a black belt and former lawyer and just very
really?
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. I had no idea.
And then Foggy's just like around.
Oh, Foggy's so sweet. He's a very, he is like a very kind person. And I think he feels that. I just picked them as like the four big characters. I didn't mean to leave him out. But that's a part of who he is. It's like the guy that gets left out.
I guess it's actually very true. He's the guy that gets left out, and then you left him out.
I'm sorry. He's an extremely kind person, like a very kind person, and he works hard and he cares. And so.
So who's the mean one on set? Like who's super mean?
There isn't one. I've been on sets where there's like this one guy who's like the title character of the show, and they're a pain in the ass, and you have to make sure the air conditioning stays on for them, even though it's like a sound problem. And
James Spader. James Spader, right?
No comment.
Nice.
That's a wild guess.
Well, here's what I want to know. I think everybody wants to know this, and whether you can confirm or deny this, because this is something we've talked about a lot on the show. Is Charlie Cox actually blind?
Yeah, we've been really wondering.
Well, here's
really
another funny thing. He's so not blind.
Oh, okay.
But Deborah Ann's boyfriend in real life is.
Oh.
And
really?
So one really funny thing is he came in on set and he had like the stick and the props guy was like, what are you doing with that? And he like tried to take it back.
That's hilarious.
And that was very embarrassing for him. So yeah, Deborah Ann also dates this, you know, I think he's like into comic books and writes his name. I think his name is EJ Scott. He's like a Twitter person, and you can look him up.
When the prop guy took the stick, did he like elbow him and punch him? Yeah. Because that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
But then also to say about how Charlie really is in real life. He really like both John and Charlie are lovely people, but Charlie really is kind of like more the nice guy. And John is more like has that darkness about him and that unusual voice, and they're both night. They're both like John is like a family guy. I mean, Family Guy, just like freaking Frank Castle. Like he has kids and wife that he loves to death.
We interviewed John Bernthal once, and he was like jumping out of his chair. He was like he did have that sort of like, well, this guy could do something weird right now, and we wouldn't even know how to respond.
He's an intense individual, and he cared so much. I mean, when I actually got to talk to him for the first time, we were, you know, putting a wire on. I get to like reach in the actor's pants and up their shirts.
Yeah.
That's part of my job. And so you end up talking to them sometimes when you're doing that.
Sometimes. Other times you just sneak right up on them and they don't even know.
Sometimes you stare right into their eyes.
Say something.
Silently. Yeah.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes they're like so preoccupied and they're getting poked by like 10 people and they're just like, whatever. But you know, I was poking at him, and the sound mixer was like, oh, did you know Heather's like a really big Punisher fan? He's like, oh, really? And he looked at me like, he's like, oh, you know, like, wow, like, well, then we got to talk. Like, I got to know what you think. And I was like, really?
The fact 10 pages of notes.
I mean, he cared. He cared what I thought because I was a fan. I got to be dorky with him and tell him, like, my thoughts about the character. I was like, oh, no, I like this. And I even gave him a comic book, and I was like, I really think, you know, if you're portraying the Punisher, you should read.
What'd you give him?
I gave him Bourne.
Frankencastle.
I don't know if you read Ennis's Bourne.
Yeah, Bourne's
because
great.
There's this amazing thing in the last page there, like, where it reveals this thing that's inside of Frank Castle that makes Frank Castle. It's almost like in Memento that the dude wanted to have something to be vengeful over. There's like this darkness in him, and I just wanted him to read that, because I thought that was sort of in the script as well. Nice. But it was like, it made me feel fun and cool to give him the comic book. So
cool. That's awesome. I'm actually curious, just to take a little side thing. Last week, on the show after Deborah came out, Pete said, man, I watched all the Punisher episodes. They were awesome, which meant that he only watched the first four episodes of the show.
Right, because I thought once he was, you know, had his big monologue and they were cowarding him off, that was it. Then they would focus on Elektra. Like, I thought the season would go first part
and
Punisher,
so you
second.
Stopped watching Daredevil at that point.
Right.
Yeah, and then I informed you that he's in every other episode. So you've watched every other episode now.
I've seen it all,
What do you
yes.
think? Do you agree with Heather? Did John Bernthal accurately portray the Punisher? Was this your Punisher?
Well, it's the thing. Like, you have as a fan, you have feelings about what you think the Punisher should be, and I was talking to Jordan about this, but, like, he made different choices, but as a fan that, like, I was like, all right, I don't necessarily think that, like, that's exactly who the Punisher is, but the choices that you're making make sense with the material and the events that they're kind of unfolding that make me kind of like this Punisher as much. And they made different choices that made kind of heightened things in different ways, like his background and the family and the way he depicted, like, how perfect he had it and, like, how that was torn away from him really justified him kind of going on this big, like...
Was he a better Shane in Walking Dead or a better Punisher?
I would say Punisher. I didn't like Shane.
Wait, bigger question. Who's better as Punisher, John Bernthal or Thomas?
Yeah!
I knew you were going to do that to me.
Choose between your two dads.
Oh, I can't. I can't. I like them. I love both my kids. I love
They're them. Your kids?
I don't know. Isn't that what parents say?
Because I love both of my kids.
Right.
Well, he has
That's
two,
why I say that.
Yeah, but he has two murdering children. Yeah. Murder lawbreakers.
That's true.
One of them made a fan film about himself.
Yeah. Dirty diapers, right?
Dirty diapers, yes. This is getting real niche
Great.
Right now.
Yeah, very niche.
I mean, I liked both of them in different ways, but I really think that this Daredevil series really brought Punisher
Beecher said John Bernthal's the best and Thomas Jane's a piece of shit.
I did not say that.
That's crazy.
Thomas Jane listens to this podcast, and I'll tell you what, he's backstage. We're gonna now I feel weird. We can't bring him out.
Oh my god, I just heard the door open, he just jumped off the roof. So sad.
You broke that poor man's heart.
Don't say that. Come on.
He has.
I'm sure he'll
be the Punisher again soon. Move on.
Real quick before we move on, you also directed a movie, Inside You. Where can people check that out potentially?
What's it about? Tell us the.
Oh yeah, Inside You is a comedy about a couple that switches bodies after a night with a magic sex toy.
Nice.
So it's a modern
Freaky
body
Friday.
Switching. Yeah, body switching with like gender and weird sex stuff. And it's currently just been color corrected. We're doing titles. It'll be finished in May, and I've applied to film festivals first. And I hope that there's screenings at film festivals, and I'll let people know. Inside You Movie is the hashtag. You can find me online. I'll post about any updates about the movie there.
Cool.
And I think I didn't ask, where can people check out Hench Girl online?
sorry, I'm still like thinking about Inside You Movie. It just sounds really cool, like Freaky Friday, but
freaky.
Freakier Friday.
Freakier Friday.
Freakier.
Justin will do your commercial.
Yeah. Nice. I guess you can go to my website, henchgirlcomic.com, or you can get it at your local comic book store and support the biz.
Nice.
Bismarcky? You're sporting Bismarcky?
Yeah,
that's the biz.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, there you go.
Just be a friend.
Let's do a musical.
Don't fool me. You can't fool me twice.
All right, instead, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week. Go to bat for them. Sometimes literally with some Batman books.
That's good. A lot of
Batman. Let's do this quick, though. Batman 50 from DC Comics.
Yeah, that's Pete's
so,
pick.
Pete, what'd you think?
This was, at first, so I was... not excited about this because of the price, but then Zalbin was like, no, you have to pick it up. It's really good. Because, you know, sometimes when they do the special issue.
Price.
Yeah, I did that to him the other day with some Swarovski crystals as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're really expensive, but you got to get them.
Yeah, your financial
Because
advisor.
Sometimes in the big issues, they have like eight different stories by eight different writers, and sometimes like a couple of them are good, but not all of them are good, and sometimes you feel like, oh man, I wasted a lot of money here, but it's just one giant story.
Yeah.
It wraps up.
Yes. Oh, you were going to explain what's
going on. No, you're better at it. You go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much, Pete. So I'm like the John Bernthal of explaining things, and you're like the Thomas Jane.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a compliment, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
You're like, but worse, though. That's the thing.
Just real quickly, so Batman Bruce Wayne lost his memory. He's been gone for issues at a time. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gordon has been Batman going around in this gigantic Batman suit. It's been crazy, but this insane giant plant bone guy named Mr. Bloom is taking over Gotham. So Batman finally has gotten his memory back, comes back, and this is Batman basically doing what Batman does best, which is taking over, going against insane odds and taking down a ridiculous, crazy, insane enemy to take back Gotham. And it's great.
Also, this book actually has like a lot of like really heartfelt moments too, like where you know, Jim Gordon's talking about being Batman, and Batman's talking about like this is like Jim Gordon's villain and like how well he did. Like, it was really there's a lot that happens in this book, and it's worth it. And it's also like you think everything is going kind of a certain way, and there's so many twists and turns that make it very enjoyable. Like you don't even, you think you know who the bad guy is, but then there's like a twist with a different reveal, and it's very, very well done.
You were not as big of a fan, right?
Well, no, I did like this because I feel like it's this story was sort of crazy from the beginning where you have Jim Gordon like looks 10 years younger. He gets in a giant mechanical bat suit. He fights a villain that's a flower made of bones, as you said, who can also grow to be the size.
You haven't said crazy yet.
Well, buckle up. He grows to be the size of a building. Then all of a sudden, Batman comes back from the dead, and then he gets his memory back, and then he leaves his life, and then he...
where's the crazy stuff?
Getting to it. Then there's everyone in the city has like seeds in them that's giving off radiation that gives them super powers. There's
waiting for the crazy
getting there and then they end up fighting as in giant robot suits where Batman's rogues gallery is all like mechs that he and then fights like they took
you forgot to mention that Mr. Bloom's plan is to create a giant sun in Gotham that's going to consume the entire world.
That was very normal to me. Sure, we've all...
That was the weirdest part!
Haven't we all tried to create a sun in our hometown?
I created a sun in my hometown.
Wow, that's... Now we know. That's where he... Never mind.
Conceived.
So, I do think... So, they took, like, this concept of Commissioner Gordon becoming Batman and in a mechanical suit and heightened it to the most extreme.
Right.
And I thought that was cool. And I do think that it was really good when he was like... No, Batman was like, to Commissioner Gordon after the aftermath, he was like, look... This is your villain. He's weird. My villains are my villains. You in that bat suit fought a bone flower. Cool. That's not an exact quote.
No, he'd said it better than that.
Yeah, I know. I'm not quoting it.
Wiggity whack, Batman out.
but I got to say, moving on from this storyline, I just want to see Batman like solving a crime. Can we just see like...
You want him to take it down
so
a notch?
It's been so crazy. Batman fought the Joker as a philosophy, and then they died hundreds of miles below the surface of Gotham, and then somehow showed up on a park bench together. Let's see Batman be a detective and do something regular. I want to see Batman have some tea with Alfred.
Sounds like a great comic. Batman tea.
Into it.
Cool. Yeah. All right, let's move on with your pick. Outcast, number 17 from Image Comics. Justin, you want to talk about this?
Sure. So Outcast is a Robert Kirkman book. We all know his name and worship him, I guess. But I do think...
yeah, it's like a god or whatever.
So in this comic, if you haven't been picking it up, a guy who was has struggled with demons possessing loved ones in his life. He's sort of an outcast in his town.
Classic story.
A classic storyline. A boy meets demon. Right. Don't get along. Will they fall in love? I don't think so. He befriends the local preacher, and they are sort of doing exorcisms. And there's much more to it, but I feel like Robert Kirkman, I don't know if this is true or just the people I've talked to, but he sort of gets a bum rap where everyone's like, oh, yeah, Kirkman, blah, blah. But this book, this issue especially, like, he really thinks out his premises and his storylines, and he's finally getting to sort of what's happening here in this comic, and it's... there's a great moment where the preacher's like, he's like, okay, I'll quote from the Bible while we're doing this exorcism. He's like, no, grab the telephone book. And the preacher's like, well, that's less biblical.
Yeah.
There's less story there. And he's like, no, just do it. And so he's reading the addresses and names from the telephone book. And afterwards, he's like, how come that worked? And the main character's like, well, I think when these demons possess these humans, they're sensitive to, it's not about what you're reading, it's you're reading it loudly. That's why when you light incense, it's a strong smell. And it's all about, they're new to the body, so their senses are
like
heightened.
Holy water is they're sensitive to.
And they're sensitive to any water because it's cold and wet, and it's a sensory overload. So I feel like that's such a smart take on this.
So if you wanted to do an exorcism, instead of reading the Bible, you just send somebody to go see Batman v Superman?
Yeah, basically.
Total sensory overload?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Demons will run for their lives.
They want no ideas, just sensory overload.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But I just think it's a smart book. The art's beautiful by Paul S. Zeta. It's a great book.
The art is gorgeous in this book. It's so good. And Elizabeth Brettweiser is the colorist. And the colors in particular are very, very nice. Very muted, but very nice.
I would like to say, though, that this book has been taking a long time to really explain what's happening.
I agree with you.
This is the first time where you're like, holy crap, we've got a chance. Like, there have been, like, 16 issues of like, how the hell can we beat
You've been
these
seeing
issues?
Demons everywhere since this started.
Yeah, I know. Finally, like, yeah, now I know. Just yell at them. I had the power the whole time.
Another reason for you to yell at strangers.
Cool. Before we wrap up the stack, this is my pick. So as we all know, Batman v Superman came out this weekend. Also this past week, a bunch of comics came out in some cereal boxes based on Batman v Superman. The reason I wanted to bring these up, so these are from General Mills Cereals, and normally you would think, oh,
great
man.
Publisher.
Yeah. Great. They really know their stuff.
Yeah, well, I know.
Now, what did you get? I mean, please tell me this just was, I mean, are your kids allowed to eat good cereal, or is this like Cheerios and like, I mean, can they get Lucky Charms?
Garbage Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Like,
no,
are you
these
giving
don't
your kids
garbage Cheerios? These come in Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, nice.
Those
oh,
are the pro damn. Cheerios.
Yeah, they're the pro Cheerios. They come in Trix. They come in Golden.
No,
Grams,
but which? That's what I'm wondering. Puffs. What do you eat at your house? What do you got?
We eat whatever we got. I don't know.
You don't
Why
know what
are
cereal?
You asking about that? I want to talk about these comics.
No, he wants a window into your cereal life.
Yeah, what's the
what's
cereal
your
that your
cereal?
Family is eating?
I got to tell you, I'd never really eat Golden Grahams before we got these comics, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I guess that's it for the stack. Can we talk about these books, please?
They get too soggy. In
oh,
milk.
Is it annoying when someone's doing a bit and you're just trying to talk about a comic? Oh!
All right, fair enough. Okay, so the thing that's really surprising about these books is there are actually great writers and great artists working on these. And where Batman v Superman, the movie, is a horrible mess that makes you feel bad for liking Batman and Superman, these somehow are based on that continuity but totally get the characters right. That's the thing that's blowing my mind about them. Like, they're very basic books with lessons.
Wait
like
a second. So having comic book writers and artists write and draw these comic book characters is better than having strangers write movies about them?
I guess you're right.
You think, are you sure? That seems
right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But these actually, I thought, I was like, okay, Zalvin, whatever weird bit this is going to be, I'll read these comics. But they were awesome. They were really,
right?
They were powerful and really cool. The part where Batman like was like, hey, kid. And I was like, oh, God, this isn't going to go well.
I'm going to rip you shreds.
I saw you take a fucking picture of me. No, but like it was really great. And I thought it was said so much about Batman, the character, in such a powerful way that like, I don't know, man. I really, really, really like these cereal comics.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
Yeah, it was so good.
And don't even get me started on the cereals. It was amazing.
So they're written by Marguerite Bennett, Christy Gage, Jeff Parker, and Joshua Williamson are all very good comic book writers. The Joshua Williamson one in particular I really, really liked because it's a bunch of kids in an orphanage, which makes a lot of sense, debating about who's better, Batman and Superman, and telling
classic.
These mini one-page stories about him. And in one page, they basically capture what's great about Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman through the eyes of these kids, and it's great. It's really, really wonderful. That's it.
Great.
Yeah.
In conclusion, I'm really enjoying Golden Grahams.
I'll tell you, yeah.
Check out Cinnamon Toast Crunch coming to you.
I haven't gotten anything in my eggs. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't get any.
That sounds gross. That's it for the stack. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come out here and talk to you guys, and you ask a question about absolutely anything. If you have something for one of our fabulous panelists over there, that's great. If you have something for anybody, that's great. And you will get not only free comic books just for asking a question, but you'll also get a poster from
Mod Hero.
And also you get a Hench Girl comic.
And you get a Hench Girl comic.
Nice.
It can be about anything, something geeky, something about comics. You, ma'am, over there, you're going to have to come up because this microphone doesn't stretch very far. But why don't you come over here? Here we go. I can make it stretch a little farther. All right. What is your name and what's your question?
My name is Emma. And
hi, Emma.
And hearing you guys talk about comics, I was thinking about a YouTube series I enjoy called Screw Attack Death Battle. And it's like, what do you guys, have you guys ever seen or talked about, hey, how much concentrated awesomeness would it be to see this character and that character get together and beat each other up? aside from that Zack Snyder atrocity.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You're going to get some free comics, courtesy of Pete. What do you guys think? How do you
Great
feel
question.
About superhero battles in general, superhero throwdowns?
I mean, that's sort of the whole thing, isn't it? That's almost everything is that, a little bit.
Well,
Whoa, dude, you got real deep right out of the box, bro. Yeah.
Isn't everything funny?
What line are you drawing here?
I think that, like, sometimes it's, you know, if the reason is really good, you know, it's easy to get behind and very enjoyable to be like, oh, look at these two going toe-to-toe. Who's going to win? You know, and how true are they to them, like, fighting styles and all that kind of stuff. That can be very enjoyable. Like, Marvel did that whole Versus series, which was cool. But sometimes when it's hard to watch it, like in Batman versus Superman, I was like, stop fighting. Like, what are you doing?
And to use the two examples that are in our movie culture right now, like Batman v Superman and Civil War, two different fights. Obviously, Civil War hasn't come out yet, but Batman v Superman in the movie, they like fight for almost no reason. Superman's like, quit being Batman. He's like, do you bleed? And that's like, oh, I guess we're fighting now.
Yeah, we're going to fight, yeah.
When Captain America and Iron Man seem to have a deep philosophical difference about how they go about their jobs of fighting crime.
And they don't want to fight.
They don't want to fight. Exactly, they're friends.
They're like, I really don't want to hit you. And he's like, I really don't want to hit you. We've got to hit each other a little bit, though.
They have a relationship. When Batman and Superman, literally Superman flies up to Batman and is like, stop it. And it's like, what?
Well,
that's not
stop
how
what?
Anyone
what? Yeah, stop yeah. what?
Well, stop being a Batman?
I think it could have been really interesting because there should be an ideological difference between Batman and Superman.
Sure.
I mean, if they hadn't made Man of Steel be like super emo and just like gritty and Superman kills people, it could have been Superman, a symbol of optimism versus Batman. He's gritty. But instead, it's like, both of them are, there's
gritty
no ideological
grittier.
Difference. And so how the movie explained Batman hating Superman is he's just like, he kind of took the Lex Luthor role of, which Lex Luthor didn't take, of he's too powerful. What if he goes rogue?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like always Lex Luthor's perspective. Mm-hmm. But then inexplicably, once Batman, using his incredible detective powers, realizes that Clark Kent has a mom, who's named Martha, he's like, oh no, he has a mom. I guess I shouldn't fight him. Yeah. Despite the fact that every like living creature on the planet has a mom, and he killed thugs who have moms.
So you're
Maybe
saying,
their moms are even Martha.
So you're saying in that big moment, if instead of saying Martha, if Batman was like, I have a mom, Superman or Batman would have, Superman said, I have a mom, Batman would have been like,
oh, we cool.
I also have
do
a mom.
Do you think this is getting
well, into
He should have said, do you have a mom instead of do you
ends.
Bleed?
Yeah.
The movie ends with Batman going off to form the Justice League. Do you think he's going to go around the world and be like, what's your mom's name?
This is a Martha's only
group. Martha's only group.
I have an opinion about this too.
Cook. Yeah.
No, I think that I remember, isn't it in Dark Knight when Batman and Superman do encounter each other in Dark Knight? People remember this?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. I remember the first time I read that, it was like such a surprise because my previous experience with Batman was the animated series when we were kids.
Which is amazing.
90s, which is amazing. And that was like how I knew my Batman and like the movies. And I was like, whoa. And it was eye-opening and exciting because it made me understand the characters better. And then I also think on Daredevil 2, when you have Daredevil and Punisher, it sort of brought meaning to who their identity, like it made me and also that it gives this sort of scope of vigilantes as being a thing, and I don't know, I like it as being real. And then I can just say, from being on set and watching a fight between Daredevil and Punisher, it was so fun because I just kept thinking, like, can't these two handsome men just get along?
Here's the crazy thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but
you're
in
wrong.
Dark Knight Returns, they're teaming up, right? Like, it's a fake fight where Superman and Batman are fighting, but Superman is supposed to lose the entire time. Isn't that right?
I don't remember.
I think so. So they're actually working together. And one other thing that I wanted to bring up, though, just to your question, I think this is because I've been reading comic books and watching these movies for approximately 300 years at this point, but I'm tired of the
Dracula.
fighting. Okay, now let's team up to take off this bigger bad guy thing. I don't know if you guys watched Supergirl last night.
Here we go.
Here it is.
No, but seriously, the Supergirl-Flash team-up was basically Supergirl falls out of a window, Flash grabs her, runs her out of town, and he's like, I saved you. And she's like, actually, I'm fine. And he's like, cool, let's team up. And that's the whole thing. And then they're friends the entire time, and he gets her ice cream.
That was my favorite. Her
which
face.
Which is amazing.
When like, she got ice cream.
Oh, yeah, her face was
like ice cream. It's that to me was so much better and so much more enjoyable on every single level than all of Batman v.
It also makes more sense because they're, in general, heroes are aligned with the good guy side. So at least with characters like Flash and Superman, I mean, Flash and Supergirl, they should get along. I could see with Punisher and Daredevil.
Yeah.
I thought that made sense because Punisher kills people.
But I would like to say, though, that sometimes a good versus battle is very enjoyable, too, because it's like when the first time Wolverine and Hulk fought, I thought that was like, because you're like, who would win, you know? And it's a fun just to see it. And then you want, okay, guys, you're on the same team. You know what I mean? I do like the classic, we're going to fight in the beginning, but then we're friends. I do kind of like that.
But it has to be earned.
Right.
It can't just be, hey, we got moms.
Yeah.
Well, we've been slowly developing that over the course of the past 10 years.
The Alex, fact that we have moms?
Alex,
is that what we're slowly developing?
Do you like ice cream?
No.
You will.
You will.
You will.
Cool. You're going to get some free comics. We can get another question. You right there, actually. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on down.
Okay. Come on up. What's your name and what's your question?
Ara. I just want to add on what we discussed about for Civil War, maybe off topic, but I'm really confused. Like, if Captain America and Iron Man are friends, like, why would they have to fight each other? Is that they have nothing to do about it? Is that because they have no choice but to fight?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
I mean, obviously the movie will resolve some of that, but I do think that's what I was saying. Like, they don't. Something comes up between friends. Like, we all have friends that we end up fighting with. Like, I have this friend named Peter, and we're friends, but occasionally, like, an issue will come up. Be it
I hate
civil-
it when you call me Peter.
Yeah, see? This is a prime example. And then they'll fight, but eventually they'll be friends.
Can I tell you a super darky thing that I did the other day?
Okay.
Like, I didn't do this, but I watched, somebody did a mashup of the past 8 years of Marvel movies and TV shows where they're like, The Road to Civil War. Mm-hmm. And it's great, and it's actually super emotional, and it shows you how along the way, Iron Man's character has very consistently been about, we're out of control, I have to protect everybody, I have to make sure that the world is protected from us, and then Captain America, on the other hand, is completely sure in his rightness. So, I mean, again, we'll see how it pads out of the movie, and it's sad, and I think it's on purpose sad that they're fighting,
but it's
been there the entire time.
Right,
really cool.
And also, in the comics, they did such a great job, too, of setting up this thing of, like, this is the line in the sand a little bit, and, you know, they feel like there's no other choice. They have to pick sides. You have to choose if you're on this team or that team, and the only way to get through this is to fight, and it's crazy, but it actually works really well in the comic, and I'm hoping that the movie will be just as amazing.
It seems like the movie is more about because he wants to, like, protect Bucky, and Iron Man doesn't want him to.
Yeah.
For some people on Tumblr have taken that to, like, a... Never mind.
No. I think I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, we're talking about Stucky, the most important thing in the history of the world.
Yeah. But some people before Winter Soldier came out were shipping Captain America and Tony Stark, so they're like, it's the ultimate ship battle.
Especially that first trailer that came out, it was like, guys, cool it a little bit. Like, solve these problems.
I was your friend,
like,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yo.
I used to be your friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. You're going to get some free comics. We can take another question. Let me do one from this side over here. You, sir, up there, why don't you come on up? All right. Or come on down, actually. Either way. What's your name and what's your question?
I'm Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Yo.
Hello, everyone. To ladies, I would like to ask you, what was your reaction to Supergirl in general?
The show?
Yes, the show.
Nice.
Oh, last night's show or just the idea of Supergirl?
The show in particular, in general.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we can open that up to everybody. What is your reaction to
Only
Supergirl?
Us.
How you feel
okay,
about?
Well, I will say, actually, the first that I saw the trailer for this series, and I was kind of anti because it looked like the Devil Wears Prada, except she has superpowers. So I was really, it's funny. I mean, you'd think that I would be the one who'd be gunning for watching it because I'm a girl, but actually my boyfriend was the one who was like, we got to watch Supergirl because there's a Flash crossover coming up.
It sounds like your boyfriend is an old-timey newspaper man.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, we got to watch that Supergirl.
Hey, I've been hearing great things about Supergirl.
I do agree with you, though. I think like the people, whoever did that trailer was like, this show's for girls, and so we're going to do it about this. And it's like, actually, it's not like that.
But so I think the marketing actually did a disservice to the show because like shows like Jessica Jones, like, are, you know, they have a female perspective, but it wasn't marketed like, hey girls, do you watch, do you miss Dawson's Creek, etc. But actually I think the show's really cool. It's just kind of in the same vein as Flash and Good Arrow, back when Arrow was good.
Uh-oh.
There's only one Supergirl for me, and that's the 1980s movie version.
Helen Slater. Wow.
I love it. I mean, it's got Pierre O'Toole, and they're stuck in the Phantom Zone, and like
that
Faye Dunaway.
That movie is crazy.
It's amazing, and they like really want to have this sexy guy, and they put him in a haunted house, and they mess with him. It's
have you seen that movie lately?
I've never seen that movie. It sounds like you're describing a dream to me.
It's a dream, and the TV show to me is just too like it's too. It doesn't appeal to my perverted dark self. It's too.
Yeah, they never did a Devil Wears Prada trailer for that movie. That's for sure.
That's right.
Anyway, Supergirl is great. You should definitely watch it. If you're not, I think we can take another question.
We got one more question.
You, ma'am, right there. Come on up. Yes. All right. Over here. Come on down. Okay. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Lena.
Hi, Lena.
And I'm actually new to comics. I've been learning a little bit about Captain Marvel.
Cool.
It shocked me that Captain Marvel was actually part of DC. I always thought Marvel. A friend recommended. I'm still learning about the character, but a friend wants to recommend it if they ever had it like as a movie, and it looks like it's coming up, to have Megan Boone as Captain America. I'm sorry, Captain Marvel. I was wondering what your thoughts would be of that.
Cool. Nice.
So there's actually two different Captain Marvels, which doesn't make it super confusing. There's a Captain Marvel at Marvel, who is a woman named Carol Danvers, who is going to show up. They are going to have a movie of that. But confusingly, there's also going to be kind of a Captain Marvel movie from DC, which is going to be called Shazam. And they call him Shazam so that it doesn't get uber confusing when you have two Captain Marvel movies coming out that are totally disconnected.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? Are you excited about either Captain Marvel version or Captain Marvel / Shazam DC version? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I do think in light of how depressing and joyless Superman is, to have Shazam be like awesome and like bright, I think will be really cool if they can go that way.
Yeah, and they have The Rock is going to be
Black
Adam. Yeah,
which will keep it light, hopefully.
Well, I think so. Yeah. You're saying that seriously, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell sometimes.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You're serious and not making fun of me, right? Oh, great. We're friends. And then the Captain Marvel from Marvel movie, I think, is also going to be... I feel like Carol Danvers has been such a good character in the last few years, and the fact that they... Because there have been so many
the
Captain Marvel.
Amazing.
And, yeah, it's so good. Well, then there's Ms. Marvel as well, which is... that's not the movie that we're going to see. It's
no,
the,
but if you're
that
not
should have
it,
been. Yeah, I
know,
feel like
right?
that would make a really...
Ms. Marvel. Well, I'm sure they're... It's
Ms.
talk being
Marvel.
It's yeah. Ms. Marvel.
I'm sure it's Marvel. I'm sure it's being talked about. I mean, it's the comic's doing so well.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so but I think this is the question you were asking was Megan Good as Captain Marvel? Megan Boone.
She's on Blacklist.
Oh,
so you,
perfect.
This is your jab, Heather.
Yeah. no comment.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's all coming together. Listen, guys, we've littered clues throughout the show about what Heather is talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of Blacklist production.
She's good at acting.
That's the biggest slam we've ever had on the show.
She's pretty and she's good at acting, but all ask right. a New York film crew person.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Amazing.
Great.
All right. I think that answered your question. And that's it for your audience question.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move it over to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Pete LePage. Do I got time? Do I just got to give it out again?
No, just do it.
Some trivia.
All right, great. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you. First hand up. Come on down.
All right.
Come on down.
Come on.
Here you go, please, over here.
All right. Grab that microphone. What is your name?
Alexandra.
Alexandra. Audience? Audience Alexandra. Woo-hoo. All right, great. So today's trivia is called Totally All Facts Trivia.
Wow.
So,
how unlike you.
I'm going to read you a question. You pick one of the answers you think is the best. You you say three answers, you win $25. All right. What question number one? What are you more excited about on Netflix? A, the Punisher getting his own show. I mean, come on. B, the new Jessica Jones. Also, I mean, that's pretty big news. Or is it C, are you more of a Pee Wee Big Holiday? So it's either A, B, or C, whichever one you feel. Just pick a letter. See, all right, nice job.
I'm going to give you a little spoiler. These aren't actually facts. Just pick whatever. Okay.
Yeah. In Daredevil Season 2, do you think they made the Punisher A, the perfect amount of badass, B, could have been more badass, or is it C, are you more of an unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt type of person?
I really am a more unbreakable
Kimmy Schmidt. All right, awesome, yeah. Okay. Last question. Here we go. Focus up. How excited are you for the Luke Cage Netflix series? Are you super pumped? I mean, the teaser was sick. Or is it B, nervously excited? Hopefully they do it right. Or is it C, are you more of a Greg the Bunny type of person?
Oh.
Yeah!
Nice.
$25 free. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Oh,
amazing.
Pete. Trivia is not even the right word anymore.
Can I tell you?
What?
Yeah. Luke Cage just wrapped last week. They're starting Iron Fist, and after that, the next thing they'll shoot is Defenders.
What? Do you know anything that you can kind of say about the Luke Cage? Did you work on it at all? Did you see anything? Did you hear?
I know that it's gonna be great for one, that the actor Mike, he's like really hot and super nice.
That's what we all want.
You're our check-in on niceness.
Versus good actor. The cool thing, the fucking coolest thing is that each show is so different in flavor and that there are black creators on Luke Cage and a black star, just like Jessica Jones, female creators and female star. And so it's like nothing, smart. I think like nothing that's ever been brought
Iron
to
Fist,
comics before.
This is true, has all billionaire creators.
Yeah. And several mystics are consulting on it who are just like ghosts or something.
Yeah, and blonde guys.
Real quick, I know we didn't do Week in Geek. Did you see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
It was great.
Because Arrow's Casey Jones and Krang's in it. I mean, I'm losing my mind here, but
Rocksteady and Bebop.
I know.
I saw that. I was like, this is great. And how does Pete not talk about this all the time?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's already ruined Transformers for me. I don't know.
Krang?
Yeah.
Krang.
Krang. Honestly, though, that looked like the animated series from when the early 90s brought to the screen.
Yeah, but we'll see, though.
I'm into it.
Not this guy. I am into the fact that tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, though. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics. They've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Daredevil number 5 and Saga number 35.
Oh, all right. Shit. Good answers.
Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I was going to say Saga, I think.
All right. Very cool.
Very great, obviously.
Great series. Definitely pick it up if you're not. I'm looking forward to Gem and the Hologram. Number 13 is coming out tomorrow. That book is so good and so heartfelt and so nice. And the art is gorgeous.
Is it true to the cartoon, though?
It's different. It feels like a very modern spin on it.
All right.
And it's
That's
different
probably
than the
for
movie.
The best.
Yes.
I've heard it's like better than it has any right to
That's
be.
That's exactly right.
Like
I'm
it came
stunned
out like
every
kind
issue.
Of as a tie-in for that movie that no one saw.
Yeah.
And then it just was like,
weirdly good. And
they also, last issue, I haven't read this issue, but last issue they had this very brief trans storyline that was the most responsible treatment of a trans storyline I think I've ever seen in a comic. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Definitely check it out. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm like 30% sure that Hench Girl number 6 is going to be out on Wednesday. So yeah, if it nice. Is, get it. If not, whoops. But
did you say 30%?
30%.
I did some math in my head, and I didn't check when it's coming out. But I think it is, I don't know. If I'm wrong, sorry, but that's not my recommendation.
Is it next week, the week after? The next possible?
I have no idea.
Oh, don't. Okay. She said 30%.
Saying, no, I know.
She
but
would have said a higher percentage if it's...
I just know the publisher said, I have your copies. And usually he says that right before it comes out. I need to be on top of things more.
That's
but I'd say Paper Girls, the trade is coming out. And yeah. I read the first few issues and I really like it.
Paper Girls is awesome.
Yeah, it's really great.
Cool. Heather, what are you looking forward to?
I'm into Saga. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, there you go. Got the triple pickup.
The triple, very rare.
Haven't read Saga in like 20 issues.
Oh, pick it
Boy.
Up. I was behind and I read like 6 or 7 issues in a row and it was the best. It was
yeah, nice. Yeah.
It was like candy.
It's a nice sweet candy.
I really liked it while I was reading it and then I just forgot to keep reading it.
Well, it kind of got sporadic with how regularly it came out.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was gone for months.
We're here to remind you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go. This is great, guys. Before we go, a couple of things. Next week on the show, two of our favorite guests are going to be here. Fred Van Lente and Dennis Calero are going to be here.
They're working together
on a new Assassin's Creed comic book. So they'll talk about that, and we're going to do a bunch of parkour. So that should be pretty awesome.
That's going to be great.
Cool. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com or nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, the show is free to see and to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you're here live, if you'd like to put some money in the hat over there, that's great. Or if you want to head to our virtual hat at GoFundMe.com/comicbookclublive, you can definitely donate some money there
A hat.
Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Yvonne Bell, Tom Rodar, Greg Fletcher, Digital
Time, and Riley Trahan.
We want to thank Kristen for being on the show.
Yeah.
Heather.
Woo!
All-Star Boothman!
All-Star Boothman!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 7:30 in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Good night, everybody!
Thank you!
Sorry, Rolando! Yeah.